Praise God. How many ready to receive from God? I mean, it's such a blessing that we would understand that church is so much more than just us coming and receiving, but church is a place that we can come and give and bring what God has blessed us with. But how many know it's also nice to receive from the Lord? I said, how many know it's nice to receive from the Lord? And I believe that today God is going to share something with us that is going to help us so much to break into a new level that we really need to break into. Hey, Tamara, could you maybe I need to get hooked up a little bit. Could you say some announcements today? We can maybe do that right now.
All right, hook yourself up. All right, and I'm going to hook the people up with what's going on. How about that? All right, so let's see. So we're going to do some veteran service, this first service, but the second service is going to be the full shebang. Okay, so there's going to be some of the World War II vets with us on second service. So if you're in the first service and you're able to stay for the second, please do, because it will be more than the first service as far as our honoring of our veterans. And then the cafe has burritos today. You know what? The breakfast burritos. Those are $2. So if you're hungry after first service, $2 for breakfast burritos. There's pastries in there for $1. Women of Hope is coming up. It's the third Friday of every single month. And so this month it's on November the 16th, which is this Friday. So put that on your calendar and be sure and bring be here. I've heard a lot of good words from many people text me afterwards and say, wow, it was such a good word Laura brought. So thank you for that, Laura. The ladies have been being blessed. Appreciate it. Yeah, yeah. Through you, too. So, and then Men of Hope always meets the first Friday of every month. We try and make that simple so that you put it on your calendar, plan for it, and make sure that you're there. They're always the first Friday of the month, which this month has already passed, but December 7th will be the next one for the men. And then in January, we have our quarterly maintenance day, which is going to be on January the 12th. So I hope that's already on your calendar. We're going to work from 8 in the morning until 1 o'clock. We all come. We get so much done. Huh, Daniel? We get a lot done. Tell your wife thank you for releasing you that day. I know it's hard with little ones, so we appreciate that when husbands and wives work together. One of them keeps the kids at home and sends the other one to help out. So it works out. And that's January 12th. We're going to do that once a quarter, every quarter. We have a beautiful facility here, but it's big and expanding all the time. Amen. So this year, we're not going to be cleaning and detailing the outdoor area. But next year on maintenance day, we're going to have to go over there and detail our big outdoor beautiful fellowship area, right? We're going to have to wipe some things down and probably detail some of those doors and windows. So God is expanding our tent, and it's a blessing to us. But we like to be good stewards over what God's given us and be sure that we take care of all that he has blessed us with. There are many, many people who know our facility just by the transformation. We'll meet people over at the city. We'll meet people in the city. And we'll, where are you? In Hope Community. Oh, wow, that place has changed. You guys did a lot of work there. So from the time that we came, maybe you don't know it that way. If you've lived in Pico Rivera, you know that there was a time that the grass wasn't green. The grass was brown. But it took a lot of volunteers and hard work. Amen, brother? That put in all the irrigation pipes and made it happen, right, Carlos? So we got together and we said God's house should be a place that's green. If we got some grass, it ought to be green, amen? So we laid irrigation pipes and put in a system, and the city noticed that we're taking care of our facility. And so it's a very good witness for us to just be sure that we're representing God well on this corner, amen? Are you set? You knew I could do it, huh?
Yes, 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 yes. Good. All right, praise the Lord. Have we done our Bible yet? Let's put our Bible over our heads. Say it like you mean it. Say it with me. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible Word of God. And having received the Word of God, I will do the Word of God. I've got a question for you today as we're talking about, continuing to talk about breakthrough. How many have areas where you need to break through in your life? Okay. Well, I'm here to bless you and to tell you that you can break through those areas. And many times we think that we can't because we have been in that position for so long. Maybe you're trying to lose some weight and you just think, man, I've tried and I just can't. And then some real foolish things will come out of your mouth. I just can't. And the reason why that's so foolish is that's opposite of what God says. Amen? See, learn to start listening to your mouth, and when it doesn't line up to what God said, change your mind. And change what you say about yourself. Well, my marriage is always, you know what, it's been bad, and I'll never get married, you know, I'll never find the right one. We just curse ourselves all the time. Thank you. That was exactly the word I'm looking for. And you know what? And God is not a curser, God is a blesser. But I'm gonna show you something that is tripping you up. You ever had a situation and something isn't right and you're trying to figure it out, and then somebody, oftentimes it's your wife, will come and they'll go, no, it's like this. And they'll turn it around and you're just like, oh, I was working on that. That's what I'm going to do for you today. I'm going to give you a key that's going to help you so much in you breaking through to a higher dimension to where you need to go. And God wants you to be there. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever had something happen and it was just so good that you thought, man, I never thought this would happen. Something happened and you just shook your head and said, man, it's what they say, it's too good to be true. You ever heard that saying before? Has anybody ever had something too good to be true happen to you? Come on, somebody raise your hand. When I married my wife, that was too good to be true. I'm totally serious. I'll never forget. And my wife, I appreciate her for a lot of reasons. But not only is she pretty, she's smart. Pastor V is shaking her head. She's smart. And she is knowledgeable in a lot of things. And she has been so involved in the renovation of this whole property. Guys in the back, if you can, like on the fly, they call that, find that picture of what the church looked like when we first got here. It's a picture out front. You find that. And when you get it, wave your hand. But we were over, and we had a pastor friend who was an electrician. And we had some work to do, and he was a trained electrician, and he was going to help us. So we were over at Home Depot, and Tamara was there with the list, and she said, oh, you know what, FB4 connectors are right here. She grabbed four of those, and then she said, you know, 2-1-3 couplings, and she came over here and grabbed it. And she went through this whole list and just grabbing all the stuff. Well, this guy, every time she'd go get something, his mouth would get a little open. Or, huh? And he was just amazed at her knowledge for her to be able to get all that stuff in a short period of time. And he looked at me and he said, you know, Pastor Drew, you are very, very, very smart. And he said, because you married her. And I recognize that's true. Have you ever had something happen to you that was really too good to be true? somebody gave you a gift, or you know what, just something that was just you said, wow. Well, can I tell you about God? That's who God is. I said, that's who God is. God is so good. You know, in the morning, I learned this from a pastor, and he taught me this. In the morning, in your prayer time, sometimes be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and many times the Holy Spirit will just want you to sing a song. And I started doing that, and I found it very, very ministers to you, as the Holy Spirit will just pick. You know what? And I was raised in the church, so I had just a whole jukebox of thousands in my mind of thousands of songs. How many know your mind is the greatest computer in the world? And I had a jukebox of thousands of songs. And I'll let the Holy Spirit. How many like jukeboxes? They're cool. How, you know, they just kind of, you know what I mean? And then you're waiting to hear that song. Anyway. But the Holy Spirit will, I won't press in 4-8, you know what I mean, or J3. I'll let the Holy Spirit just go to wherever he wants. And many times the Holy Spirit will go to this song. And it's an old song, and it doesn't have many words, but over and over again, I kind of trip out how many times the Holy Spirit will go to this song. It goes like this. Oh, my goodness. Now I'm going to forget this song. Okay. No, I'm not. He'll go to this song. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Now, how many know God is good? How many would raise your hand and recognize that God is powerful? How many know, you know what, when I used to go surfing, you know what, one time, my friend, he'll be in the second service, but my friend Larry and I, that, you know what, we went surfing this one day, and it was biggest waves in Newport Beach I have ever seen. And we paddled out. Well, I caught this wave, and I'm not sure if I caught the wave, but at some point in time, the wave caught me. And the amount of water, the power, I'm telling you what, in the Bible, they just see an angel. I mean, just an angel, you know what I mean? How many know angels? I hate to break your thinking, but angels aren't little, you know, little doily things with, you know what, naked butts. How many know that is not what an angel looks like? Amen. Yes, I said butts in the church. Okay, I'm sorry, but that's what it is. But that's not what an angel is. You know what? We see the description of angels, and they're huge, and they're mighty, and they're powerful, and just an angel freaks people out. They're just like totally on their face. Ah, you know? Can I tell you what? That's nothing compared to God. God, the Bible says, just holds the oceans in his hand, in the palm of his hand. We have some degree, but God is, how many know God is all powerful? Okay. And how many know God is good? But here's what we sometimes don't know, and here's the key. It's not God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. That's not the part. Here's the part you need to understand. He's so good to me. That's the key. I'm gonna show you very quickly. We're not going to take a lot of time, but I'm going to show you very quickly some situations in the Bible that are impossible for it to happen. Too good to be true. Things that people will look at And you know what? I don't care how smart you are. There is no way. These people are people in their situations, and they're absolutely hopeless. Except they recognized that God not only was good, but God was going to be good to them. And every single one of those people, they walked out of their mess into victory in their life. They went from a place of sickness, disease, misery, bondage. They stepped out of their prison and into victory. And the reason, I'm going to show it to you, and the reason they did that was because they believed not only in the goodness of God, because we believe in the goodness of God, where we are actually stifling ourselves is that we don't believe that God is going to be good to us. And I believe that that's why the Holy Spirit has me go to that song over and over and over. Because God wants me to understand he's not just a good God, but he's a good God. He's not just a powerful God, but he's a powerful God, and he's willing to show his power on my behalf. Can somebody say amen to this?
Amen.
All right, let's look at a couple of passages. We've looked at this on Wednesday for the last two Wednesdays, becoming one of my favorite verses in the New Testament. But I want you to catch what he's saying here. Hope does not disappoint. Somebody say hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. So you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, don't get your hopes up. You know, no. Get your hopes up. And here's why you need to get your hopes up. Why? Because hope doesn't disappoint. Does that make sense to anybody? Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold. You know what behold means? It means look at something. Sometimes we have to look at something in a different way. That's why it's so important to keep on coming back to church. Because you go out in the world and you hear a bunch of junk. I mean, just to be working in the world, you hear all kinds of junk, and you need to come in and renew your mind. You need to look at something. That's what I want you to do today. I want you to look at something different. Carlos, come on up here. I want to do this today. I want you to get a different perception. I want to do this to every single one of you. I want to say, listen. I want you to take, you know, you remember when you were looking for something as a kid and your mom told you right where it was? Hello, you remember this?
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, it's not there. You go back to your mom, it's not there. I still do that, don't I, Tamara? It's not there. And she's gracious to me. She won't do this. But I remember when my mom would sometimes go to the kitchen, and then she'd direct me and she'd say, look, it's right there. Hello? Carlos, did your mom ever do that to you?
All the time.
See, that's what I want to do. Perfect. That's what I want to do to you today. I want to show you. Listen, it's right here. The issue is we don't understand that God wants to be good to us. And many times because of what we've done in the past, or we haven't seen it happen or whatever, is we just accept it and we think that's the will of God. And I'm here to tell you, no. Listen. The Bible says in this same book, you know what? The prophet says, listen, don't tell God who he is. Let God tell us who he is. Let me tell you what God is. God has good plans for you. For a hope, not of destruction, but for a hope and a future. That's what the prophet said. All kinds of people talk about God and well, you know what, he won't and he can't and that won't happen and that won't happen in my family. And that's never, no. That's not true. Look at this passage. This is so powerful. Oh, Lord God, behold, look. Today, look at something different. Look at it differently. You have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arms. There is nothing too hard for you. Somebody say, there's nothing too hard for God. And this God that nothing too hard for, David would trip out and say, wow, who is man that God is mindful of us? Why does God care so much? I don't know why, but here's what I know. He does. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good. Help me out. He's so good to you and me. And we need to recognize that. Luke. Chapter 1, verse 37. Here's what it says. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen. Now, how many can say amen to this?
Amen.
Okay. Amen. Amen. With God, you know, nothing will be impossible. Let's put it in context. Can I put it in context? You know why this is in Luke chapter what? One. Who knows what's going on in Luke chapter one, roughly? Who knows what's happening? Yeah, exactly. Let me put it in context. This isn't just some generic thing. No, 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 no. This is Mary saying, no, God, you're going to be good to me. And in context, they're talking about not only the birth of Jesus, where Mary, who is a virgin, is being told that she's going to get pregnant, and she's like, oh, what in the world? How many know it's impossible to get pregnant, you know what, if you're a virgin? Come on, I know this is deep. How many would raise their hand and say, that is, Pastor, I'm more. See, something impossible. And not only is this in context of that, but it's also in context of her, was it her aunt? Elizabeth, cousin. Okay, Elizabeth, you know what? So she's got this cousin. The cousin, we don't know exactly how old she was, but we know from Luke that she and her husband were very old. And there's one source that I saw this week that, not in the Bible, but an outside source, which sometimes can be reliable, they're just telling you facts, says that she was 88 years old. And her husband was 99 years old. And the angel says, oh, by the way, your cousin, you know that 88-year-old lady? She's pregnant. Say, what? What is that? Yeah, she's pregnant. It's in that context that that angel says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Can you say amen?
Amen.
See, a impossibility. How many know there are no 88-year-old people walking around pregnant? Amen. Like if you see an 88-year-old in, you know, Babies R Us, right? How many know they're looking for their grandkids? Amen. You know, if they say, oh, yes, I'm pregnant, oh, I'm looking for some diapers, you know what I mean? How many of you are like, oh, loony, you know? Right? Luke chapter 18. You know this story, one of my favorite stories in the New Testament. Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet, but he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. Let's stop right here. You know, there's another passage that says, in the New Testament, that says, God will obligate himself to anyone who knocks. Do you remember this? That anyone who asks. See, we don't understand. The Bible says this. We have not, and it's all throughout the Bible. Why we don't understand it, it's because of our past and who we think, oh, we're unworthy. God says you're worthy. God says you're holy. Every time that Paul addresses any of the churches, you know what he calls them? He says, to the saints at Ephesus. If he was writing us a letter, you know what he would say? He would say, to the saints in Pico Rivera. Because that's who God sees you as. That's who you are. And many times because of our past, some of us, because of even our recent past, you say, past nothing. You know what? I messed up 2 weeks ago. I understand that. I also understand the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And it is the sin consciousness that trips us up. It is the sin consciousness. It's such a consciousness of our iniquities, of our flesh, that we just, it's like, I love Tamara gave me a great example this morning. She said, you know what, how many know Bill Gates could change your life? I'm just talking about, here, let me put it this way. You know, some of you get all, you know, spiritual on me. No, only Jesus can. I got that. Okay. How many know Bill Gates could financially change your life? How many will go there with me? Okay. Okay. But how many know that just because he could, you know what? You wouldn't sing that song. You know, Bill is so good. Bill is so good. Bill is so good. You know what? He's so good to me. You wouldn't say that. You know what I mean? How many know his kids are singing that? How many know his kids are singing that? Have you ever seen his house? Well, you haven't gone over to his house. I didn't mean that. But have you ever seen pictures of his house? He's got a house. Brian, you've seen a picture of his house, right? Yeah, it's built into the hillside. I mean, just phenomenal. You know what I mean? Well, how many know there was a difference in the attitude that you would have? Even if you walk by, and you could get close to his house, but if you were walking by his house, you know what? You might have a different attitude than if his son was walking by his house. His son's walking, and I think he lives by the lake or ocean or on the lake. And maybe he sees a nice ski boat or something. You know, his son would go, hey, man, I'd like to have one of those boats. And his son is thinking, okay, I'm going to ask Dad for it, and I'm going to get it. Come on, somebody. Is somebody in the house still? But how many know you wouldn't think that? You could see his. How many would see a boat and think, you know what? I'm going to ask Bill for one of those boats. He's going to give it to me. How many of you knocked on the door, and if he answered the phone and said, hey, you don't know me, but I'm Drew, and I'd like one of those boats out there. How many know he'd call the cops on you? See, we don't understand who we are. And just like the prodigal son, how many of the prodigal son was a son even when he was out acting foolishly? And the father was looking for him just to change his mind, just to return. And as he's talking to his dad, saying, Dad, I don't deserve this. All I want to be is a servant. It's interesting because you read that passage, the dialogue is very interesting because it's like the dad's not even listening to him. And halfway through, he doesn't even get out what he wants to get out. He starts talking to the servants. Hey, yeah, you got the robe? Get him that robe. Come on, quick, get that robe. The ring? Get the ring. Get the ring. You know the ring? Get the ring. You know what? Get some sandals. He don't have no. Get some sandals on his feet. See, that's who God is. And this guy understands, you know what? Jesus is obligated to stop. He's walking. Why? Why is he stopping? Because he obligates himself to anyone who knocks, the door will be open. I mean, this guy is knocking. And people are trying to tell him to shut up. And people will try to tell you to shut up. That you can't because you went to El Rancho and that's just, you know, whatever. Or you went to Pioneer High School or you never graduated, whatever. And they tell you, no, don't bother. Listen, you are not bothering the Father. Amen. Amen? You're not bothering the Father. Matter of fact, I believe that God gets bothered by the people who are telling us that we are bothering him. Did you catch that? And so he stops and he makes a correction to those people. And he says, no, no, no. You tell him to come here. Now watch this. I'm telling you what, this is tripping you up because you believe that God is good. But many of us don't believe that God is good to us, to me. So this guy, watch this, this guy comes up and he's like, okay, yeah, right, I'm talking to Jesus. And when he had come near, he asked him, who's he? Jesus. Jesus asked this guy, look what he asked him, saying, what do you want me to do for you? Man, I love this passage. What do you want me to do for you? Paul showed us another passage in the Old Testament, and I was reluctant, maybe we'll go there, I'm reluctant to even tell you this passage because it is so like this. See, we have been used to hearing so much trash, even in Christianity, so much unbiblical stuff that we think God, you know what, we come in there and it's like, oh God, don't hurt me, and oh, you know, this is ridiculousness. There's a passage in the Old Testament, and it talks about, you know what, that God, you know what, is asking us for commands. Oh, I don't know. Look it up when you get home. 45:11. Jeremiah, Isaiah. Isaiah 40, write it down. Isaiah 45:11. But here, I'll give you the New Testament version of it. Right here. Jesus. Understand, Jesus is a servant. Amen? Well, Jesus is a servant to us. See, man, this stuff goes so against what we've been taught. So much of religious talk. Here, you figure it out. Just look at the text. Can we allow the text to teach us theology? Because here's what happens. It's our tradition of men that causes the word of God to have no effect. So the words are right there for us to see clearly. These are, how many believe the word of God is in the inspired word of God? Amen. Infallible. Listen, this was written that you and I would start to understand the character of God. When you see Jesus, you see God. And God is saying to this man, is God a respecter of persons? You think God thinks this guy is better than any other guy? No. The only reason, it's my point today, my only point today. I don't have 4 points. I just got 1 point. And here it is. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. Here's my main point. But he is so good to me. And people can call me all kinds of names. People can think all kinds of things. I've had people, you know what, that weren't even, you know what, saved. One of Tamara's friends used to say, you know what, Droopy is the luckiest guy I know. Man, I don't know, he's just so lucky. I'm not so lucky. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. I've got a relationship with God, and God is not just powerful. God is powerful on my behalf. Why does this guy walk in a super? How many know it's impossible for blind people physically back then and even now to be able? How many know blind people don't go into the eye doctor and they walk? They go in blind and they walk out seeing? How many know this doesn't happen? And there's some great advancements in the medical field as far as vision is concerned. But as far as blind, you know what? Blind people are not going into the medical offices and walking out seeing. Impossible. But let me tell you about God. God is too good to be true. That's the God that we serve. And so this guy, why does he have the capacity to ask God, as God's asking him, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Yes. Here's why. Because he believes that Jesus is good and powerful to him. That's why when they told him, shut up, shut up, shut up, he wouldn't shut up. The Bible says he cried out even louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy, what's mercy? Mercy is, you know what, you don't deserve it. See, stop thinking that God is going to bless you because of you. Start to understand God is going to bless you because he just loves you. Amen. You know, if you look at this, because we don't understand this concept. But God is a good God, and he's good. The Bible says he's good not only to righteous people, but he's good to unrighteous people. You know the Bible says that? You ever seen somebody, and you know what? How many know what beautiful days have we had? How many know, you know what? Some person who is ungodly and they're living an ungodly life, how many know they can go out and just breathe a fresh air? Amen. Is that not right? They can enjoy the birds and the flowers and all, I mean, just all this great stuff. God, because you know, because this is how God is. God wants you and I to walk in the blessings. And listen, If God is so good to them, how much more is God going to be to us? This guy, let me tell you why this guy got healed of something impossible. Here's why. Because he was willing to say, when the Lord asked him, what do you want me to do? He was willing to say, hey, you know what I believe? I believe, God, that you're not going to be good just to some people, but you're going to be good to me today. Are you catching this? Does this make sense to you? Watch, I'll show you. And Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Then Jesus could have said whatever he wanted, but he's making this clear. Your faith has made you well. See, well, here's what I'm saying. Sozo, exactly. Thank you. See, listen to me. The reality here is that this could happen to any of us. And we are thinking that God, we don't question God's greatness. God is great. He can do miracles. How many believe God can do miracles? Amen. How many believe God can do? Amen. But the next question is, how many believe that God can and will do miracles for you? Amen. See, that's a whole different level. And when you, listen, when you will walk in that level, you will, here's what you do. You arrest God. And he's got to stop. Why? Not because of you, but because he's obligated himself to his word. And he said, you know what? He could have said whatever he wanted. He said, you know what? Let me tell you what. I'm going to obligate myself to anyone who knocks. Anyone who knocks, you know what? I'm going to obligate myself. Anyone who asks, I'm going to obligate myself. That's why he says, knowing that this is not happening. You have not. Here's why. Not because, you know what, I'm not good. Not because I'm not even willing. But because you think that you can't ask for it. So you never do. And you think, well, if just, and. Amen. And we've been taught this crazy false doctrine of the sovereignty of God. Oh, Pastor, you don't believe in the sovereignty of God? I do believe the sovereignty of God. God is all powerful. That's all it means. But if you think God is all powerful, if you think that that means that God is making decisions for people, then here's what you think. Then you think that accident that happened, you know what, on Saturday night, and that drunk person who killed that family, you know what, then you're thinking that that is all orchestrated by God. And I'm telling you what, that is a scary doctrine. That is a doctrine of demons. That's what that is. Amen? No. God is sovereign. He could have said whatever he wanted to say. And here's what he said. He said, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to obligate myself to anybody who's willing to just trust and believe that I am good on their behalf. I'm just telling you what the text says. Jesus was the one who said, you know what? What do you want? Because let me tell you what. Let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Are you learning something today? You're thinking, man, wait a minute here. It's some lights going on to say, wait a minute. I've accepted far too low of what I could walk in. I'm asking someone. I hope so. I believe so. Genesis. And he brought him outside and said, look now towards heaven and the court, the stars, if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so surely your descendants will be. Watch this. So powerful. And he, believing the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Did you catch that? And he, believing the Lord. See, he believed what God was going to, God spoke to him. No. Another old family. Wife has been barren. Not just barren now, but barren all the time. See, can you have that child that the doctors have said, you can never have a child? I say, yes, you can. Can you get that job that your family members have said, you're never going to have a good job? Can you walk in a different place? Can you have that marriage that even you've said, I'm never going to have that marriage. I just married the wrong person.
Saint's a liar.
I just married the wrong person. That's my, no. Maybe it's not you married the wrong person. Maybe it's you're thinking of yourself wrong. You're limited yourself. It's something learning something today. Acts. Oh, this is so good. Acts. See, what are all these examples? Impossible. It's impossible. Stop saying impossible. You know, I like some evangelist. He got out his dictionary that he had, and he took impossible and he tore that out. That needs to be in our head, that we tear out the impossibles. Why? Because we heard it. With God, all things are possible. Watch this. What is so powerful? And through the hands of the apostles. Oh, I couldn't do any. No. Through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders. What's a wonder? You know what a wonder is? A wonder is when something happens that is impossible, and you sit there and scratch your head and say, man, I wonder how that happened. It's a wonder. Signs. What are the signs? You know what these signs are? These signs are of the goodness of God. See, you know what God wants? He wants a big family. And so these signs are made that people would, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. They're signs that God is showing signs of, I love you. I care about you. And he wants those signs to particularly take place with his children. And these guys understand that. Why does Paul look at that guy who can't walk, and the Bible says he seized him by the hand and lifting him up? Here's why. Because Paul believed that when Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, Paul believed it. How come he walked in it? They looked at him and said, whoa. They started worshiping these guys. He's like, whoa, stop it. Why are you looking at us? This isn't us. This is God. Amen. And then part of the church says, oh, yes, if God, listen to me, because you're going to catch this. So then the church takes that and says, yes, if it's God, God will do it. Don't say yeah to that. No. We are his hands. We are his feet. Will we be like the blind man who says, you know what? Let me tell you, Lord, I understand, but I'm going to ask you that I would say, I'm going to ask for the impossible. Can we start asking for the impossible? Can we start taking the limitations and recognizing that if we will take the limitations off God, God will do what we ask him to do for us? I'm asking somebody. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Simon's porch. Now watch what's happening. Yet none of the rest dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Watch this. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Well, look what happens. So they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, lest at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Now, the reason I show you this is because this is just off the hook radical. Okay, Grandma, you know what? Take your instrument. Come on. Where are we going? We're going to get healed. Amen. You know what? I'm tired of getting your breakfast. You won't get your own breakfast tomorrow. Amen. See, this is radical. But God doesn't say, oh, no, no, no. I'm only going to take care of some. I'm only going to take care of some of them. No. See, God obligates himself. He has no problem. You know what? The question isn't, is God all powerful? The question is, will you come to that last point? Will you say, God, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good. Will you sing and believe that God is so good to you? That's the question. And we have so many people, even pastors, who give us all these reasons why God isn't going to do it. Listen, if you're listening to, you know what? I say this as a pastor trying to give you good instruction. But if you're listening to somebody on the radio, even if it's Christian radio, and they're a unbeliever believer, if they talk about how God, you know what, could, but here's all the reasons, and even though he said it, here's all the reasons why he won't. And you have to walk in, and after all, you have to walk in wisdom. Can I tell you what? Wisdom is not mixing unbelief with belief. Would that pastor on the radio sit to that blind man and start to counsel him how we've just got to understand that sometimes God does things and sometimes God doesn't? How many pastors on the radio are trying to get you to understand that sometimes, please don't say amen to this, are trying to get you to understand that sometimes God does stuff and sometimes he doesn't, and you just never know? Can I tell you what? Respectfully, do yourself a favor. Turn those people off quickly. And let me tell you why. Because you have to protect your heart with all diligence. Because out of that flow the issue of life, the boundaries of what you're going to start believing God for. Listen, I believe that the body of Christ, we are not some off, you know what, distant relative of God. We are in his family. Amen. We are the children. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High, the all-powerful God. And God has no problem us asking him and him delivering us what we ask. Look at this. Look at this. So they're bringing all these people. Why? And look what happens. Look at this next verse. Look at this next verse. Also the multitude gathered. Also. Everybody say also.
Also.
This is including all those people in the streets. Also the multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people. Say also. Everybody say also.
Also.
Don't understand also means this is happening to those people in verse 15. Bringing sick people. That's good hermeneutics. Oh, that's not that doesn't include them. Well, study your Bible. Also means, this is deep. All we have to do is just read the Bible. Amen. Also, the multitude gathered from, amen. How many know God can teach good hermeneutics to a Pioneer High School student? Somebody say, with God, all things are possible. I'm just telling you. Also, the multitude gathered from the surrounding cities. We're going to stay on this for a while. Please understand that, you know what? You need to understand your Bible. That's why you need to get in all the levels of Academy of Righteousness. Because I can't teach you this stuff in 38 minutes. I'm sorry, I just can't. But I will teach you way deeper concepts. Amen. And so my daughter, she's doing an excellent job. Amen. Amen. And so will Pastor Paul. Amen. And so will Joel. Amen. And so will Pastor Vegas. Amen. And so will Pastor Tamara, amen? I'm just saying. bringing sick people. Every say also. Sick people and those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Why were they all healed? Because all of them had a willingness to go out and say, okay, you know what? Maybe Peter's, you know what? I'm going to catch his shadow. Remember, Jesus said this, you know what, in Mark. He says, in another place in Mark, he says, with God, all things are possible. But then if you go, and I think that's in the chapter, but if you go back up, how many want to see this? If you go up, watch this. Mark, do I have it? Yeah, I got it. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. But Jesus looked at them and said, with men, it is impossible. See, there's things that are impossible with men, but not with God. How many have God? You haven't been left. And with God, what? For with God, all things are possible. Now watch that. How many could say amen to that? But let's let Jesus, the theologian, teach us. Look at this. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Jesus said to them, if you can believe, all things are possible. To who? To him who believes. That's why that man saw. Here's why. Because he said, Jesus, that I might receive my sight. Are you catching all this? How many of this is not false doctrine, guys? This is coming right out of the Word of God. Jesus was the one who says this. Praise God. Last verse, and then Tamara, get ready to come up here. That's why the Bible, listen, please understand me. The Bible doesn't say, Paul doesn't say, I can do all things. Oh, yes, he does. No, he doesn't. Here's what he does say. He says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Paul says at one point, he says, I'm hard pressed. But let me tell you what, I got people on the left, on the right, I got all kinds of people criticizing me. I'm hard pressed on every side. But let me tell you what, I'm not crushed. See, Paul recognizes he can do all things, but he can only do all things through Christ that strengthens him. And many times what we try to do is we try to fix it this way and fix our marriages and figure out our businesses and try to get a new good job. And you know what? Oh, we're gonna go get an education, and education is going to get us a new job. You know, have you prayed? Has the Holy Spirit told you to get an education? I'm asking. Amen? Has the Holy Spirit told you to get an education? Because we have kids that are on fire for Christ. They love Jesus. And then they go to the universities. And we have parents who are sending them to these universities. And guess what? And you have these professors that you are paying for your child, your little angel, to sit in front of. And they are convincing them that God is not real. See, protect your heart with all diligence. Yeah, but how in the world are they supposed to get a good job? Well, I don't know. Ask the waiter at Chili's who has, you know what, $80,000 in debt and has a degree. Ask them. Well, I got no amens out of that one. Amen. See, why? Because I'm bucking the system. I'm fighting the system. I'm telling you. Parents, grandparents, listen to me. You better be prayed up in this economy. You better be prayed up in this life, because let me tell you what, even if they get a good job, who cares? Oh, praise God, my son, he's got a BMW, and he's got a great job, going straight to hell, you know what I mean? But praise God, he's, you know what I mean? Who cares about that? We need to be prayed up. Listen, church, it is time that we not just do things. We need to lean not into our own understanding. We need to think and start praying and saying, God, what do you want me to do? What direction do you have me to go? That's where we need to be. Amen. We need to start being bold. And if God asks us to do something, then we need to step out in faith and say, you know what? I'm believing that God is going to back me. Because I believe that God is good. But I not only believe that God's good, but I believe that God is good to me. Amen. Come on.
Can you help me? Pastor had a scripture up there. It was in Luke. Oh, here it is right here, huh? Is this one? Did you use this one? Luke 18:39? Was he there? Did you just put it there for us? Where's that one?
That was on the blind man.
Yeah, that's where it was. Okay. Oh, here we go. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought to him. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Here's what I wanted to say. What's the first thing that takes place in that story? He goes to Jesus. Bring him to me. We need to come close to the Lord. We need to know. Many of us don't make that step. When we came here, and I'll try and really fast tell a lot of details, and I hope I don't leave people out who haven't heard part of these stories, but when we came here and we were trying to renovate the facility and we didn't have finances, but what we did have is we had God, and we had the knowledge of his word. And we knew that if God had called us here, that God was going to supply all of our needs to be able to do what he's asked us to do here in this community. And so in that process, some of the things that we needed early on is we needed carpet desperately. From the kids' rooms all the way over to the north side, there was like this pink carpet, and it was all unraveling, and it smelled in the kids' rooms, and it was just atrocious, really, and we needed carpet. Carpet is expensive. And so I began to take God's word. I came to Jesus, knowing his word, and began to believe him for the carpet. God, you said that you would supply all of our needs. You know what? We need some carpet. This carpet is not cool. And so your facility needs some carpet. And I began to believe God for that carpet. As I began to believe God for that carpet, he began to direct me different things. I would not just pray and come near him and ask him for it, but I knew in my spirit I was just comforted. I believe God's word. So as I'm believing God for this carpet, I would encounter people who would tell me that I was crazy for expecting that God was going to give me that much carpet. They would tell me it's not going to happen. But I didn't let them move me off of my relationship with the Lord. I had come near him. I knew in my spirit, and I know in my mind, I can believe God's word. See, here's when I wanted some sconces for my home, a stupid sconce that you hang on the wall, I saw God get me that sconce in a crazy way that I could have never. It's like I opened it up on Christmas Day and said, "Whoa, how did you know?" And then my first thought was, oh, Pastor Drew must have told her. So I looked at Pastor Drew with all this love, like, thanks, brother. And he was like, uh-uh, not me. And so then I looked back at my sister-in-law and said, how did you know? I mean, she gave me the exact sconce that I wanted. And I don't even know her. Like, she was brand new to the family. I didn't know her, and she doesn't know me. And I said, how did you know that I wanted that? And she was just as confused. She was like, I don't know. I was sitting in the break room at work. You know what? And there was a magazine on the table. And I had drawn your name from the hat. And I said to Drew's sister, this is my sister-in-law saying to Drew's sister, I have Tamara's name. I don't even know her. I don't know what to get her. And she said she was looking at this magazine, and she says, well, that totally is her. And she just slid it over. And so she ends up buying that picture in the book, which was the very sconce. And I didn't talk to Drew's sister either. She didn't know nothing. It was the very sconce that I had been trying to tell Pastor Drew, give it up with some greenbacks. I need to go get this. We need this. And he wasn't giving it up. So I said, okay, it's all right. Hey, God, I want some sconces. Now, maybe you don't get, because that's not you, how crazy awesome that is, what happened to me. But see, the sconce had happened already. Once you begin to come near God, and don't let the voices pull you away from the truth of God. Once you walk that out, you're dangerous. Because you begin to understand the son and daughter that you are, the inheritance that you have. And that's what that had happened to me with that sconce. So now when I'm believing God for all this carpet for the church, and everyone's telling me I'm loco, you can't have that. God, do you know how much money that is? Well, let me give you the end of the story. I did know how much money that was. It was a lot. And people constantly tried to talk me out of God being my provider, to talk me out of God being able to show up. But I wouldn't let them. It's up to me. I wouldn't let them. I just kept saying, yes, but God. Yes, I know, but God. Well, yeah, I know, but God. And then the next thing you know, I mean, just miraculous stuff happened. And I didn't just hear, watch God. Let me tell you, thank God I didn't let them talk me out of it. Could I have? Yes. Would I have the testimony that I have if I had let them do that? No, I wouldn't. But I chose to believe God, to know that God is good to me, that I am his daughter, that he is not hanging me out there to dry. Because I wouldn't let them talk me out of it, I not only got the carpet, but then I got it all installed for free too. And then I not only got it all installed for free, but then I also got them to put up all the brick that God had given me. I had 15 pallets of brick that I did not know how to put it up. But God sent people who did know how to put it up. And then he opened up just an endless account that I could build our puppet house. Aren't you glad I didn't let them tell me back here? Well, you can't, honey, let me tell you, I've been doing this for years, honey. That's too much, honey. You can't. No. No, honey, you don't know my God. You don't understand. You know what? How good God is. You don't understand how faithful he is. Hang on to where you're at with God and where you're going, because he's a good God, but we have a part in this, amen? Do not let people take away the inheritance that you have with God. Amen? Amen. We already did announcements, so we are going to conclude the service. Amen? Amen. I want to just close in prayer, and then we will dismiss you. Amen. Father, thank you for being a father to us. Thank you, Father, that you are concerned with everything that we're concerned with. Thank you that you're aware of every detail of our life. May we begin to rely on you, look to you in a greater way than we ever have. I thank you, Father, that as we live each day in our life, that whether it's something material like the carpet for the church for me, or like the sconce for me, or whether it's something just where you are our comforter and you help us through the valley and the trials that we encounter in life. I thank you, Father, that we know that you are always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. We don't need to encounter lack in any area of our life. We must rely on you. We must go to you. We must believe you. And we must not let the enemy, through all kinds of sources, try to talk us out of the goodness of who you are. I thank you for this. I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit of God is just resonating to individuals all over the sanctuary. Very specific situations in their life that they would just begin to press into you and seek you for your wisdom in knowing how to pray. And when we don't know how to pray, we pray in the Spirit, because the Spirit always knows how to pray. And I thank you, Father, that you will begin to that we will give you place in areas of our life. We have not because we ask not, and we don't ask because we're not convinced that you'll do it for us. But we are your sons and your daughter. And you've given us the prodigal son that we would see your heart concerning us. I thank you, Father, that we see it today, that you remove blinders from our eyes, that we see clearly and receive, just receive the love of God that he has for you. Receive your positioning in his family that he has given you. It comes with no strings attached. He just loves you and wants you to love him back through your obedience in your relationship with him, so that he can move on your behalf. Thank you, Father, that we'll take your words and we'll apply them like Pastor Drew mentioned. We can tie up our own situations in our life by not knowing your word and doing your word. Thank you, Father, that we seek you for wisdom and you begin to direct us by your Spirit, just like you did to me. And that things in our life will begin to turn, and that you'll begin to bring restoration and victory to each one of us in different areas of our life because of our willingness to go to our Father and to seek you and follow you. I thank you for this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.